Thanks, Pamela. And I mean, picking up, I think, on your question, but also I think it's relevant to the one we've just heard from the delegate of Palestine. I mean, this issue about how all voices can be heard, I mean, it's a critical issue in any multilateral system. And, you know, what's the mechanism for ensuring that? I mean, looking at the multilateral trading system, you know, one of the things that's clear is, you know, it's not just government voices that need to be heard as well. I mean, UNCTAD, the WTO are state-based, membership-based organizations, but the degree to which one can bring in the voices of the business community is absolutely critical to how business gets done internationally, i.e. how trade gets done internationally. Unless you hear from people who are doing trade, who are doing business, about how you can actually facilitate their daily lives, about how they get their products actually over borders and into international markets, you know, then it's just a bunch of civil servants talking about something they don't know about. That's the problem with trade negotiations, unless you have business actually part of that. And the problem with a lot of that is that actually it's quite difficult, except for the most well-resourced multinational businesses, to participate in those discussions. So how, you know, when we're talking about inclusivity, how do you ensure that the voices of small traders from developing countries are heard? You know, comes back to this point about, you know, this rather sterile divide over e-commerce and digital that you sometimes hear between developed and developing countries. Actually, you know, the ability for a small trader in a developing country that actually has access to mobile broadband, because that is now available across much of the developing world, or at least mobile internet access, to use that to access markets that otherwise the physical infrastructure does not allow. Those are opportunities for developing countries, and there are companies and there are businesses and there are small traders who are already exploiting them, but who need the support nationally, in terms of national systems, in terms of international systems, to take that further. So how do we ensure that those voices are heard? And again, I think that comes down to, you know, what sort of support can we provide to ensure that those voices actually are able to come to places like Geneva, which is important. I mean, if you're a small startup business in Kenya, let alone an LDC, you know, how do you participate in the discussion? But it is important. One of the ways we've been doing that in terms of how do the smallest LDCs participate in the discussion is they need to be present here. They need to be present in Geneva. Geneva is one of the most expensive towns to do business in the world. How does a small country like Vanuatu, for example, have a mission here so that they can physically be here and be present and for their voice actually to be heard because they're present in Geneva? And there's the Commonwealth Small States Office here, which provides a platform for the very smallest Commonwealth members of countries to share their costs, to have shared trade policy advisors who can help them navigate the very complex world of multilateral meetings and negotiations here in Geneva. We just heard from Pamela about how 25 years ago, there's just three of them covering the whole gamut of agencies here. You know, for those countries and for countries much smaller than Jamaica to actually have an effective voice here, they need to have the support to be here. So things like, you know, things like the Commonwealth Small States Office, those types of initiatives that actually support those countries being present when the discussions are taking place, is very important. There is also this point about, I mean, inclusivity, consensus, and how you actually have leadership in such an environment. You do need coalitions. You do need groups to come together to try and take the debate forward. Those coalitions ideally should be as representative regionally and in terms of developed and developing countries as possible. And I think the Canadian example we've just heard of is a very good example of that. But you do need small groups of countries to come together and to try and provide leadership in terms of ideas, in terms of political leadership. That's essential for progress. But by definition, they're a smaller group. So how do you ensure that there isn't too much of a tension between that group moving ahead and bringing the wider membership with them? I mean, there is a huge issue that we face here, and that is the capacity of different members. We tend to have this rather simplistic division between developed and developing countries, but, you know, the capacity of a country I know well and I'm very fond of, and they do a fantastic job in the WTO, but of Montenegro, a developed country of 650,000 people, the capacity of Montenegro compared to the capacity of the United States in terms of engaging in this, you know, is an enormous gulf, and yet they're both developed countries, should be treated in the same way according to WTO. You know, the capacity of a country like Vanuatu or a country like China in terms of their ability to engage is hugely different. So we need to be focusing on the practical, on how we can actually address the practical circumstances that different countries have and the challenges that they face, and target the support that we can, countries like the UK that does have a large aid for trade budget, to target those support on those countries most in need of the sort of facilitation and technical assistance that allows them to play a part in the system and to have a voice in the system. Thanks.